generous and cheerful giving honors God, but also blesses the believer then to be a blessing to others.
Building Mature Followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, there are certain taboo subjects. Of course, two of those classic taboo subjects are religion and politics, right? Well, we're not afraid to tackle that subject, that taboo subject of religion here. I think this is probably a place where we ought to talk about religion, won't you think, here in this time. But there is another taboo, this politics, and I'm wondering, how many of you here are really looking forward to this Thanksgiving dinner coming up with your family maybe here? Maybe family and friends. It could be very fun, or it could be very interesting here. Am I the only one, now that this election is over, and this, am I the only one that just feels utterly exhausted here? I do. And I said that I'm trying to figure out, okay, is it the flu I've been battling all week, or is it the election, or both? I don't know what it is. But here we are, that's past, and whatever your thoughts, your feelings on that, I pray that you would find your peace in the Lord in this and have great wisdom when you gather with your families at that Thanksgiving dinner table. You never know what that might be like there. So there are subjects then that we have to be very careful how we talk about those things, how we handle those things. But I'm not here to talk about religion or politics. I'm here to talk about another little taboo subject. But this is a subject that can be kind of taboo here in the church. And I must admit that I feel this pressure myself and to be very careful about how I talk about this. But that taboo subject is the issue of, what do you suppose?
Finances.
Money, finances, right? Money in the church. Why is money and giving a taboo subject in the church? Well, I think it's because, frankly, there has been an abuse of that topic on the part of some, hasn't there? You know, there are some that just say, well, you know, your church, all they care about is money. You go there and they're just always talking about money. They want you to give more and more money. And you know what? I think there are some churches, there are some individuals that do have a tendency to do that and go too far. On the other hand, you can have some that just don't even want to talk about it at all, never talk about it. And I think, you know, that's not the answer. The answer to abuse and excess of a topic, the answer to that is not then to go to the other side and never talk about it at all. Because the reality is that money, finances, our giving, this is an important part of our discipleship as learners or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible has quite a lot to say about it, doesn't it? So I don't say this to say I want to stir up some kind of taboo here. And I certainly have never been one that I must admit, my tendency is to kind of go the other way where I just don't even like to talk about it at all. But if I do that, I'm not being faithful to the Scriptures, am I? And here's another thing about it, is do you know, if we don't deal with this honestly and biblically, we're missing out on a great blessing that is in that for us. Because I know part of the problem here then too is not only can you have the issue of some who talk about it way too much, you can also then have an issue where some who talk about it then, who do talk about it when they do, in ways that are not biblical and that promote false attitudes and false teaching. So the answer then is not just to not talk about it. The answer is to talk about what the Scriptures say about it. And I hope what you'll find in this today is some encouragement. Some encouragement in this. Because God intends giving to be a blessing for us. Not a burden, a blessing. It's an instrument that God uses to bless others. And guess what? To bless the giver in blessing others as well. So I hope that you'll be encouraged then by this as well. And we want to talk then today about then the giver, the cheerful giver, and to see from our text here that generous and cheerful giving honors God, but also blesses the believer then to be a blessing to others. And you know what? Through that then, God blesses you. So God, it's something you can be a blessing that God uses to bless others, but God then will bless you through it too. Well, let's talk then about what the Scripture has to say about this topic here. We'll be looking in 2 Corinthians, starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. But again, as always, it's important to have some context here. What you need to know is that prior to this writing, what Paul is saying to these believers in Corinth, there had been an effort underway to provide for some financial relief for very poor Christians in Jerusalem. In fact, the church in Jerusalem was not, it was a very poor church. That many of those early followers of Jesus, they were poor. But then when you throw in then too that many of them too, coming from a Jewish background, when they began to follow Christ, it created some socioeconomic problems for them as well, as they became subject to persecution, sometimes then also being put out of the synagogue. And when you were put out of the synagogue, that was a lifeline, an economic lifeline among things as well. So there were many poor believers in poverty in Jerusalem. And so there were other believers throughout the other regions, other provinces within the Roman Empire, who were made aware of this need of the believers in Jerusalem, that they needed help. They needed help in their material or financial needs. And so there was an effort that was being taken up then around other churches or all over various Roman provinces then, a collection that was being taken up for them to provide some relief, some help then for them. So a collection then, Corinth was one of those cities where a collection had been started for them. But then it stopped. Does that ever happen? You get a great effort. It's a good idea. We're going to do this. We get started with it, and then, whoop, we come to a halt. Now, why did this collection for these poor believers in Jerusalem, why did it come to a halt? Well, I think it's quite possible the reason it came to a halt was because, again, of the influence of these false teachers in Corinth who were working to undermine the Apostle Paul and his efforts. You see, this collection was associated with the Apostle Paul and some of his associates, and so it is quite possible then that these false teachers were saying, oh, well, you know that Paul, you know why he's taking up this money, you know why he's doing that? He's just trying to enrich himself, and he's just going to skim off this for himself. And so they were talking down about Paul and accusing him of less than noble motives or purposes in this. And so things had ground to a halt. That's most likely what had gone on there. But of course, you know then, Paul, there were some other issues too that Paul had that he needed to correct with them. And so now, in doing so, in having straightened out some other issues and getting them back on a right track, well, here's this issue out there, which is this matter of the collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he wanted to encourage them to finish that, to finish what they'd started. So we're going to look at this passage here. We're going to look at three passages, work through this in three passages of Scripture to see some insights in giving that we see in these passages. And the first thing I want us to notice here is generosity. We're going to read verses 1 through 15 of chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 15. I want you to notice generosity in giving. Generosity in giving. So with that then, listen to what Paul tells these believers in Corinth. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." So Macedonia was another Roman province, not too far away from Corinth. But he says, "We want you to know about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now, finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. So here we see in this passage an example of generosity, in giving. So here were these churches. Here's an amazing thing. Paul points out to them, and he says here, have you heard of these churches in Macedonia, a neighboring province here, that they have given generously, that even they have been undergoing much affliction and extreme poverty? Isn't that something? Here are these churches that they too were undergoing stuff. They too, they didn't have a lot to give. They were poor churches as well in Macedonia. They didn't have much to give, but even they were generous in spirit, that they were eager to participate in helping out these other believers in need, even though they didn't have a lot themselves. And Paul says what? They gave according to their means. And actually some even beyond their means. Now I know one of the issues that comes up, and we'll touch on this a little bit later here, but I'll just put it out here right now. A lot of you have been taught and that well, how much is a Christian supposed to give? How much are we supposed to give? 10%, the tithe, right? Well, if you've been coming for a while, you've heard me speak on this before. You know that I don't believe in the tithe. What? A pastor who doesn't believe in giving 10%? No, just hear me out on this. What I'm saying is I don't believe that the tithe, the 10%, is what the New Testament teaches about how believers in Jesus Christ are to give. Now, I'm well and good with that tithe. I think it's a good benchmark, okay? But that was a requirement that God had for his people Israel under the old covenant, the old dispensation of the Old Testament. So, oh, okay, so I don't have to give 10% then. I think that you and I, as believers, we're called to a higher standard. And by that, I don't mean percentage and that. I'm saying there's a higher standard in what our attitude ought to be toward giving that the New Testament teaches. Now, again, I think that tithe is a good benchmark, okay? But I think what the Scriptures and the New Testament call for, it's far more important than any percentage or amount. It's about the attitude and the motivation that we have in that giving. And what the Scriptures in the New Testament are teaching is that we're to give according to our means. That is, you know, some are able to give much more than others. And if they're able to, then they ought to, but with a right heart. Some are not able to give as much as others, but they too ought to give with a right heart, entrusting themselves to the Lord. All of us entrusting ourselves to the Lord. More to come on that in just a moment here. But here you see these very poor churches who, they didn't have a lot to spare, but they too wanted to give to help others who were as bad off, if perhaps even worse off than they were. And they wanted to help others. There was a generosity of spirit that they had. And they did this, you know, they did it of their own accord. There was no pressure or no browbeating or guilt tripping. This is something they wanted to do. And in fact, isn't it amazing? It says they begged to be a part of the relief effort. They said they begged for the favor of taking part. They saw this as a great privilege to be able to be a part of this effort. They begged for the favor of being able to show their love in this way. You notice too, again, their heart attitude, where it says, Paul speaks of them, he says, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us, that is, those who were taking up the collection. So what was their heart attitude? They wanted to serve the Lord. And in their desire to serve Him, they wanted to then give to the Lord's people. And they were eager to do that. Giving then, too, we see, is described as an act of grace. It is a way of being gracious to someone, of extending God's grace to others, can be through our giving to them. And by the way, I know there's more giving than just financial giving. There's all kinds of giving. But here, specifically, he's saying, this is an example it's an act of grace. We're extending God's grace to people by helping them. Just as faith and speech and knowledge and earnestness and love, just as these are all can be acts of grace, so too, giving to meet needs is an act of grace. And you'll notice too, he emphasizes that this is not a command. Paul was not commanding them to do this, saying, you must do this. But rather, he was encouraging them to do that in order to show or demonstrate that their love for their fellow believers was genuine, was real. We can say we love people all day, but sometimes the proof comes down. The proof is in our actions, isn't it? And those actions may take different forms. But here Paul is saying, here's a tangible way that you can put your money where your mouth is, right? That's where that expression comes, right? And show that you really are concerned and love your fellow believers by helping meet their needs at this time. And Paul then points to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their example, our example here today. It says that, and who is Jesus? Who what? Though he was rich, Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet he became poor for whose sake? Ours. In order that we might, what? Become rich. Now, is this verse teaching that because Jesus has come, if we believe him, we are all going to be rich, rolling in cash and mansions? And no, we became rich how? Spiritually, right? He became poor, quite literally, you know, he became poor in leaving the glory and the riches of heaven, humbling himself, coming into this world, being made a servant, an obedient servant unto death, even death on a cross. He became poor, and he was poor as well in the riches of this world, right? In order that we might become spiritually rich. He became poor in order that we might become rich. And Paul even goes on to say, it benefits you to do this. It doesn't just benefit those who are receiving your gift, it benefits you. Why does it benefit you and me when we give with a generous heart? Because it's an act of obedience, and God honors that and blesses that, doesn't he? But again, he urges them that they would give according to their means, and that those who have abundantly ought to give abundantly. Those who don't have as much, they can't give as much. But we all, whatever the amount might be, we all are to give what? With an abundant, generous heart or spirit. So here we see an example of generosity in giving. We're going to read verses 16 through 24, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 16 through 24. And I want you to know, I think this is important too in this. You see here accountability in giving. Accountability in giving. Let me ask you, if you've got these agents, if you will, sent from Paul to go and take up a collection from these churches all over the Roman Empire to take to Jerusalem, that's quite a significant amount of money that they're going to be, that people are just giving to them, and then they're off to the next town and so on. And then to eventually take to Jerusalem. Do you think there could be a temptation for some to take advantage of that? A little skimming off the top, maybe? Yeah, right? So you think it's important maybe to have some accountability in this, to know who you're putting in charge of this as trustworthy persons and for whom there's accountability? Absolutely. Look at what he says. Paul says, but thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. Now with him, so Titus was a trusted emissary of Paul. In verse 18, with him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our good will. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever, because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, They are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. So we saw generosity in giving, and now we see what? Accountability. Boy, that's so important to have accountability built into our giving, isn't it? Because, you know, I hate to say it, but there seem to be a few things that seem to be the classic areas of temptation for human beings, aren't there? And one of those big areas of temptation for human beings throughout the ages has been what? Money, right? Are Christians immune from temptation? Are they immune to the temptation? No. So here we see this, how this accountability had been built into it. It wasn't just Paul or just anybody just going and whoever, yeah, just go and collect it. We trust you. No, that here were several very trusted and well-known, well-regarded men of integrity that were put in charge of this. And you notice, and it wasn't just one, it was several of them that all had this. So there was a built-in structure. Did you know, like, when the offering is taken up each week here, what do you think happens to that afterwards? They just put it all in my pocket and I put it in our check, our savings, right? Is that how that works? No, it doesn't work that way. Actually, you may be glad to know. Do you know that I have no clue what goes on around here when it comes to the money? Well, actually, not no clue, but I know what I need to know, and that's all I want to know. Okay, what you see posted on the bulletin board, like from the board meeting notes about, you know, where our giving is, where our budget is, and where we stand on that, that's what I know about it, and that's all I want to know about it. I don't know who gives or who does. I don't want to know about that. But there are people, though, who do have a responsibility, who count it, and there's always, what, always two well-respected, trusted individuals who work together to count, and then it goes into, and we see the receipts, all of that. There's a structure there on that. If you'd like to know, I'm sure Linda would love to tell you all about the details of that, wouldn't you, Linda? And that, but she could, if you're curious, she can tell you all about how that works. But there's the point is what? There's accountability, and there's structure there in that, and there was in this as well. And so I think that's important for us to know. Because no one is beyond temptation, are they? One final thing, and this is going to play into some principles that I want us to draw out of this about what the Lord says in the New Testament about giving. So we've seen generosity in giving. We've seen accountability in giving. Now I want us to take away from this last passage. It's chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. I want us to see faithfulness. Generosity, accountability, now faithfulness. Faithfulness in giving. Let's look. Paul says, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints," that is in Jerusalem, "for I know your readiness, of which I boasted about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia," that's where they lived, "saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction." The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Generosity in giving, accountability in giving, and here then we see faithfulness in giving. See, Paul had boasted of the Corinthians' zeal for giving, and he boasted of them to other churches, and their example had stirred up this desire for other churches also to be generous in giving. But now that collection had stopped there, and he didn't want his boasting in them to have been empty. He's, in a way, Paul is kind of in a hard spot here saying, hey, look, I've been boasting about how generous you guys are, and you know what? You're going to make me look bad, and you're going to make yourselves look bad too. But I don't say this because I'm trying to force you or burden you. I'm saying this because he wants it to come from generous, willing hearts, but yet there's a reality though too. So he wanted them to see that they were indeed men and women of their word. But then he shares a principle here of the harvest. Sometimes I think a principle that has unfortunately been misused and abused by some. But let's talk, what is this principle? The principle of the harvest is like, if you want to have a great harvest, are you going to have a great harvest if you take two or three little seeds and put them out in your field? Carol, you have a farming background here for us, don't you? If I go out and I put two or three seeds out in my field, am I gonna reap an abundant harvest?
Put all the seeds in, you're able to.
Yeah, you should put all the seeds in, you're able to, right? And then what? The more you sow, the more you will reap. The more you plant, the bigger the harvest, right? It's a basic principle of agriculture. And here this is being applied to what? Our hearts, a generosity of heart. Of the more that we are submitted to God and his purposes and are giving of ourselves to others, the more return on investment there's going to be. Now, unfortunately, what can happen here with this is sometimes people take this as like some kind of automatic guarantee that, well, you know what? If you just give more and more and more, well, then God is going to make you richer and richer and richer financially. Is that what it's saying there? No, he's talking about what? A harvest of righteousness. Now, let me be clear, too. I believe that God has enabled or given that there are some individuals within the church that God has blessed such that he has given them more materially that they can give more materially. And I do believe, and it's been my experience, that when we entrust ourselves to God, Now, we have to be wise in handling and managing our finances. Did I mention that Financial Peace University class that's starting up in January, right? We have to be wise about those things, but if we are entrusting ourselves to God, giving generously to others, I've seen how God will meet our needs again and again and again, and continue then to enable us to give to others. But whatever it might be, let's not get hung up on the money issue with this. Let's get hung up on what we ought to get hung up on, which is when we are generous in heart and giving for, the right motivations, the right reason, God promises a great harvest of righteousness. A great harvest of righteousness. If we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. What are some other principles you see? But each must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Does that honor God when it's like, okay, someone is in need here in the church family? Okay, all right, let me get this one. Here you go. Does that honor God? But how about when that person's heart is overflowing with love and joy and generosity and knows, I, who have been given so much, want to give to this person now. That honors God, and that results in blessing. That results in a harvest of righteousness. And there's a promise. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you will have what you need and give to others. I've seen God supply. Now, it's not always in the ways we might think or when we want. But I've seen God supply again and again and again. He will supply our needs and enable us to be able to give to others. And I know that there may be some of us that would say, boy, you know, I want to be able to give more. I want to be able to be a more generous giver. But my finances are a mess. Did I mention that Financial Peace University class coming up? All right. I say this not because you need to give more, give. I say this because there's blessing in this. There's a harvest of righteousness in this. He will multiply your seed and increase your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, resulting in what? Thanksgiving to God. He then ends this passage, verse 15, once again pointing to this supreme example of God's giving, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, look, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. What's he talking? What's God's inexpressible gift? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot we could talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he is God's inexpressible gift. But you know what? We're going to stop right there on that one for today. And we're going to take that one up. I want you to hold the thought on that one all the way till Christmas morning. Do you think you can do that? Because Christmas morning, we're going to come back. Christmas is on a Sunday this year. I don't know if you knew that. We're going to come back for our passage to just this one verse, 9:15, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. We're going to call it Expressing the Inexpressible. And you're going to preach to me, and you're going to express the inexpressible gift that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm putting you on notice right now to be thinking about that. We're going to express the inexpressible on Christmas morning when we're gathered here that day. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. What are some biblical characteristics of giving then? Well, it says right there, it's 10%, that's the tithe. No. This is what the New Testament says about giving. The giving is to be characterized by these things. Here, I'm going to give you eight of them, right? Here are four of them. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to give proportionally. That is, in accordance with our means, what we have. Some can give more, some can't give as much. Give proportionally according to our means. Give proportionally. Give generously. There's that attitude and that spirit. Give sacrificially. But again, who is our example? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Give proportionally according to our means. Give generously with a right heart attitude and spirit. Give sacrificially. Sometimes I think we're called to give until it hurts. If we're just giving out of extreme abundance, well, that's better than not giving at all, I suppose. But does that honor the Lord? Not a way, and I think that's sacrificial giving. But also, what? Give freely. God doesn't want us to be like He's exacting this out of us. He wants us to give freely to Him. Give proportionally. Give generously. Give sacrificially. Give freely. Give thoughtfully. That is what? Think about it. Think about what you're doing. Purpose, whatever you have purposed in your own heart. Take a look at the need that you see around you. And be smart about it. Give thoughtfully. Give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Give faithfully. Follow through on it. Follow through on your commitments. And most of all, what? Give thankfully. Give with an attitude of thanksgiving to God for His inexpressible gift in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to then reflect, too, on two biblical promises of giving here. The one is when you give to others, God will bless others through you. You get to be a part of God blessing someone else when you give. But here's another thing. When you give to others, God will bless you. When we are giving with the right hearts, right motivations, God will use that to bless you. And I'm not saying He's going to make you rich financially. What I am saying is that He will bless you, and there will be a harvest of righteousness that comes out of that. He will supply your needs. He will bless you that you might bless others. So what? Well, I think I've just preached the so what, haven't I? I mean, generous, cheerful giving honors God and blesses the believer to be a blessing to others. So I simply, do you want to be a blessing to others? You think, man, I want to be a blessing. I'm not in a position to the way I want to. Did I mention that Financial Peace University course coming up? That might be helpful. That some of us maybe need to get into a position we are able to do more than we're currently able to. But whatever our status right now, the question is, what is your heart attitude before the Lord in this? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this promise of blessing that You have given to those who seek to honor You in our giving. And Lord, You know each one of us here. You know our hearts. You know our situations. And God, I pray that no one will walk out of here thinking, yeah, there's another one of those messages from those preachers talking about money. God, I pray that we will take away from this the joy in Your word, the promise of joy in Your word for those who would follow You in this act of grace. Thank You, Lord, for the inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ. May we follow His example then now in giving of ourselves generously, sacrificially, cheerfully, faithfully, and thankfully. Thank you, Lord, for your inexpressible gift in Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.